I want to talk to you a minute about what I call agreement, how important agreement is. Third party agreement, which would be you in a service. Service rise or fall, especially when it pertains to healing, has everything to do with the atmosphere that everyone's carrying. That atmosphere can be elevated, it can be removed. Some of that is experience on our part, learning how to operate and keep that atmosphere elevated, because faith operates through an elevated atmosphere. Case in point, when Brent was here, I believe it was Betty Jean, that healing broke loose in your hips there, wasn't it? And I knew that there was a corporate anointing because the atmosphere was charged. And he released a corporate anointing, and about 15, 20 people just got healed. Boom, 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 boom. In the corporate anointing. Atmospherically, bam. Hallelujah. So I wanted to share this with you just a minute. Mark chapter 5. You know all the scriptures. Two of you agree. Agree. Mouth of two or three witness, one chase a thousand, two 10,000, threefold cords not easily broken. But you see something here, it's really powerful. This is Jairus, Mark 5. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship under the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Now, this is the head of the synagogue of the whole city of Capernaum. He fell at his feet, and there's a big crowd around the Lord. This is the same time. It's right after this. You remember the lady comes and she presses through the throng, thronged by the press, and she presses through and grabs the hem of his garment, and he stops. That happens right after this. Actually, that starts in verse 24, but I'm not going to get into that tonight. Verse 23, now Jairus falls at his feet. He says, he besought him greatly, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. And I pray, well, thank God there was somebody in that generation that could deal with death. Man, I can't wait for the church to come and be able to deal with issues like this. Amen. I guarantee the world would turn to the church when we operate like this. Besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. He knew the Lord had this kind of power on him. He knew it. He was the head of the synagogue, and he didn't have that power. That happens a lot, by the way. They know how to stand up in front of people, but the delivering the power is a whole other operation. Now, he comes late. He says, come and lay your hands on my daughter. And all of a sudden, that scene gets interrupted by the lady pressing through the crowd, wanting to grab the hem of his garment with the issue of blood, and she gets healed. And once she's healed, that's a miracle in herself, because she can't be out in public like that. And here's the head of the synagogue standing right there by the Lord. It took a lot of faith for her to do what she did, because they could stone her for that kind of thing under the law. She gets healed and comes right back to this situation. Jairus is still standing there. They're on their way to Jairus' house. And on the way, this whole crowd and the throngs are pressing and all these things are going on. There's crowds everywhere. Verse 35, pick it up there. While he yet spoke to that lady, said, your faith has made you whole. The issue of blood. Here it is. There came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, which said, thy daughter is dead. Why trouble with the master any further? Anytime you move towards something, there will be a voice of unbelief. There will be people that don't want to go. There will people come offer an opinion. There'll be spirits that'll offer their opinion. They'll offer their atmosphere. And here it comes. They're on their way. What happens? Messengers already sent. Don't even trouble him. She's dead. Now, thank God it was the Lord. He knew who he was. But watch how he handled this. Because see, he wasn't just going to go in there by himself. He was going to take Jairus with him. And because he was going to take Jairus with him, he had to have Jairus in a position of faith. We as a body have to be in a position of faith. If we're not in a position of faith, it affects the atmosphere. What God's trying to build right now, he's not trying to explode upon the city right now. He's trying to build a habitation, build an atmospheric habitation with a one accordness of faith that he can actually birth something great. Moving into one level of glory to the next until the level of glory can then break out into the city. We have to stay with that. There's a price for that. It'd be easier just to have church. It really would. Or dead church. Why trouble the master any further? Now watch what the Lord does right there. As soon as Jesus heard that word that was spoken, you see that? What did he do? He turned to Jairus and said, be not afraid. Believe, Jairus. Do not listen to that. I need you. You're going in there with me. And you can't be wearing that. Because that person, whoever it was, that person was carrying full unbelief. As a matter of fact, the whole household was full of unbelief because he had left the house full of people. And they weren't intercessors. Because as soon as they were all full of unbelief. And she come up out of that atmosphere and released that right there upon Jairus. And the Lord said, no, Jairus, no. I need your agreement. You're going in there with me. You got to watch who's clothing you. You got to watch what they're clothing you with. You got to watch words. You got to watch atmospheres. You can't operate like this in unbelief. You can't operate like this with attitudes. He said, believe, Jairus. Verse 37, he suffered no man to follow him but Peter, James, and John. They were the three, the pillars. They all were with him. So he gets to the house. He comes to the house and he sees the tumult, verse 38, and them that wept and wailed greatly. Well, I mean, I know the daughter died. They're not going to be happy. I understand, but he's carrying something different than what they're operating in. That kind of stuff will never produce a miracle. In fact, he had to get all of it out of the house. Every bit of it. He had to move it out. He had to get it off of Jairus first thing. Because Jairus was going to go in the room with him. And Peter, James, John was going to go in the room with him. You got to have people around you with faith. When he come in, verse 39, he says, why make you this ado and weep? This damsel is not dead, but she's sleeping. They laughed him to scorn. Why? Because they're full of unbelief. He had the ones he needed, but when he put them all out, we're not putting you out because you're in. So you got to get in. Amen. He put them all out of the house. He took Jairus and the mama and Peter, James, and John. He had the agreement he needed. He would not have brought anybody in there to raise somebody from the dead. It was operating in unbelief. Now, Peter did that same thing with Dorcas. The book of Acts. Walked in, they were doing the same thing, crying and all that. That's fine, but you don't get anything done like that. He put them all out. How did he know to do that? He was trained to do that. He knew there had to be an atmosphere, and that's what we're building. A corporate atmosphere. A corporate habitation. Amen? Of his glory. To build and build and build so you can break into what Pastor Chuck was talking about. In Samaria, the kind of miracles that would turn people. Hearts from darkness to light. He would have never turned that city without power. The sorcerer was over that city. He had a certain power from the devil. But God's power was greater. Amen. Glory to God. He said God's power is greater. Hallelujah. God's power is greater. God's power is greater.